There are certainly a lot of gardeners here in Wisconsin, but when we say the Wisconsin gardener, we're talking about, and everybody knows it, Shelley Ryan. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Garden Talk. Shelley Ryan's a producer and host of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener Program. It started in 1992. And as an adult, she earned a Master Gardener status through the Dane County Horticulture Extension Office, and she's been fascinated by plants since way back when, and she's been doing that show since 1992, and she's with us today to talk about her show, talk about all the things that are coming up. She's got a great series of programs for 2013, Wisconsin Gardener Programs. We can talk about those. But certainly she and I are going to be together this weekend at Garden Expo. We'll be together for a bit of the time. She'll be there the whole weekend, I'm sure, as always. She and I are going to be together tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Is
10:15.
10:15, that's right. Oh, 11 o'clock, we'll almost be done.
Yeah, show up on time, Larry.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, as a matter of fact, 10:15, and we always have a great crowd for that. I'm really looking forward to it. And we'll talk some more about that as well as we visit with her. Certainly, you may have some questions about the program or about plants. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a garden photo or comment there, and we'd love to hear from you. By the way, Shelley, great to have you with us, as always.
Good to be here. The roads were icky in Madison, but not too bad out in Blue Mounds.
Well, yeah, Shelley and Denny are Blue Mounds folks.
Blue Moundonians.
Well, we got Garden Expo coming up this weekend, and right about when everybody's sort of itching to be able to get out and play in the dirt, it's a good time to do it, isn't it?
Itching, I think, usually by February, especially with the snow we've had this year, I think desperate is a better word.
Yeah. Well, what can we look forward to at the Garden Expo?
Well, first of all, we've got booths. You can buy plants. You can buy tools. You can buy garden art. I always see some awesome garden art that I'm usually not allowed to purchase. but also garden jewelry. I mean, I've seen some beautiful, leaves dipped in copper. So you can take home something to wear, something to shovel with, and something to plant when the ground gets a little, warmer. But there's also, I think, one of the neatest things about this from day one is, in addition to all of the exhibitors, we have seminars that are part of your ticket.
Yeah.
So you can get a free education, almost as good as being a master gardener, and it starts tonight, Friday, and continues through Sunday. Just an example, just tonight, and I really recommend coming on Fridays because Fridays are quiet, and there's some awesome speakers. For instance, at 4:30 this evening, Trendy Annuals with Mark Dwyer from Rotary Botanical Gardens.
And he's a great guy, great speaker.
Awesome speaker. And on Friday, you'll actually get a seat.
Yeah.
When he's talking on Sunday and Saturday, it's usually standing room only. He's one of my favorite guests on the show, and he knows his stuff. He's just, I'm always disappointed that I can't go to these seminars. It's just not fair. We're also going to have Robert Pierce, who I've had on the program. He's part of the Growing Power movement.
Yeah.
And he's going to be doing vermicomposting, which is worm composting.
Yeah.
Frugal gardening is another topic. That'll be on at 3 o'clock today. I didn't even know we were open at that time, so that's interesting. I guess I better be there earlier. I guess we do open at 3 on Friday. That'll teach me. Backyard gardening, vegetables and fruit, rain gardens. Which,
a lot of interest in that.
Well, think about the drought last year.
Yep.
If you'd gotten your rain garden, if your rain barrel up in time, which I didn't.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I had it up in time for October. Butterflies in the garden at 8 o'clock tonight. And that just continues throughout the entire weekend. There are seminars from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock on Saturday. No, I'm sorry. till about 4:45 on Saturday.
Yeah.
On Sunday, 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock. You can get a free education. So what a lot of people do is they'll come one day and shop. I'm not allowed to do that. And then spend another day just taking in all the seminars.
Yeah, it is so much. You know what? It smells so good there.
Yes, yes.
I love the smell because it smells like spring.
I know.
You got flowers and...
Klein's is usually there with so many herbs, and they almost always have the scented geraniums.
Yeah.
And I usually go over there and, you know, fondle the plants until they tell me to go back to my booth. Because, like you said, it just smells. I don't know if people know scented geraniums, but, you know, you can smell strawberry, mint, lime, lemon. And there's just something to touching a plant this time of year that doesn't look like it's been sitting on your windowsill trying to survive.
And no, these plants look healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. Well, Tony in Delavan has a question, so let's go to Tony. Hi, Tony. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Now, on the show, they say don't put wood chips in your garden. Okay, that's the best thing I've found for the garden, but I leave them on a pile in the environment outside, you know, for about 2 years. And they hold the moisture, they keep the ground workable. We have a wonderful garden every year. Even last year in the drought, we had a good garden, and we don't water.
You're talking about my show, The Wisconsin Gardener? We talked about not using wood chips?
Right.
Are these your wood chips, or are you getting them from a compost source, or where are you getting them from?
No, the town grinds them up one day a month if you lay them out by there, and they look for a place to dump them. So we have them dump them down in our backwoods.
Okay, the reason that we talked about that is, you know, if they're your trees, you know, you go right ahead. But the problem is you don't always know what trees they're coming from. If they're coming from walnut trees, even after 2 years, they've discovered that they're still, they can pull out the juglones, which can prevent growth. It inhibits growth. They've also been able to pull out bacteria and chemicals. And, you know, so it's a gamble. It sounds like you've been lucky. I have been lucky in the past. But I also have had a huge load from our village that killed everything I used to mulch it with.
Oh.
So if you're using your own trees, you know, if you're chipping your own trees and then having them dump that back, or that, go for it. And especially because you're letting it break down for 2 years. But you don't always know what diseases are in those trees, and that's a big problem. Some of those diseases stay in the wood chips for years. And Brian Huddleston, my guest for that segment, said they've been able to pull out diseases 3 and 4 years later. Verticillium wilt will last, I believe he said, 7 years.
Wow.
So that's the concern.
That is a big concern. And frankly, Tony's doing it the right way, at least by having it go 2 years.
Right. And even longer. You know,
yeah.
The longer you can let it sit, if you can have like a new pile and an old pile and then a really old pile.
Yeah.
But like I said, Brian Huddleston was pulling out disease 7 years later.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad you've been lucky, Tony. And I'm you know, this is a good careful reminder to, you know, if something goes wrong, you'll probably now know why.
Yeah, I mean, if it's your own trees and they're not diseased, you know, that's what we used to do with the village.
And there's no black walnuts.
And unfortunately, that's what my trees are, so. which, those are great for paths.
Oh, sure.
You know, but you don't know what else is going in there. You know, if you're comfortable to keep doing it, Tony, but that's why shredded cedar is what's recommended, and it also breaks down nicely into the soil. And especially, as you said, with a drought year, you need something down there.
Yeah, you absolutely need something down there. Tony, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Good luck. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@WPR.org, or go to my Facebook page, post there at The Larry Mueller Show. My voice a little off. I've been a little cold, not a little cold, a big cold the last few days, and I'm not quite over it yet, but so my voice is going to crack from time to time. Caller Lynn wonders when the show your show, and actually we should just talk about Wisconsin Gardener, because you got a great new series, a whole new year coming up. But she's wondering when the show will be on Channel 10 in Milwaukee. You may or may not know that right off the top of your head.
No, in fact, we usually never know. They do not follow the Wisconsin Public Television broadcast. What I recommend, and just a little rabble-rousing anyhow, is to call the program director there, who is Tom Dvorak, and ask him. Because sometimes they'll put it on at strange times, mm-hmm. and you won't catch it unless you call and ask them. And they're very happy to share that information. I do know that we are going to air all of our new shows. At least, it's not locked in. But the plan is to air our four new shows in May, like back week after week. So four weeks of the new Wisconsin Gardeners.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then they'll be replaying, probably.
Yeah, that's what they usually do. But that's for the new premieres. Count on the month of May as being the time to catch them all.
And can you give us a little hint as to what we can expect to see?
Sure thing. In fact, the first one I'm real excited about is Japanese gardening.
Oh.
So many people have gotten into the art of Japanese gardening. And frankly, having now shot the show, so am I. We go visit Anderson Japanese Gardens in Rockford, mm-hmm. considered one of the premier Japanese gardens in North America.
Oh.
We also talk about creating a portable Japanese moss garden with a mossaholic. just awesome. And then how to create a simple Japanese flower arrangement called Ikebana, where I actually sit down side by side with Kazuko Bressler, who is an Ikebana instructor, and she instructs me, which is pretty funny. You'll hear her quietly going, 45 degrees to the left, Shelley, to the left.
Your other left.
your other left, yes. And then we ended up with Japanese cooking with local foods, because I think a lot of us are intimidated by Japanese cooking.
Yeah.
And at Fin Sushi Japanese restaurant in Green Bay, Chef Taka takes cucumbers and turns them into an exotic Japanese dish.
I love cucumbers anyway.
Well, I do too. And then his last dish is using a can of tuna. And I'll never look at a can of tuna the same way. It was awesome. The second show, which I'm assuming would be the second week in May, mm-hmm. will be... okay, the title is, kind of cute. The Eyes Have It, and it's about potatoes.
Nah.
We'll be visiting the world's largest potato gene bank, which happens to be in Sturgeon Bay.
Yeah.
And
just talked about that on the show here.
Did you?
A couple weeks ago.
Good. Oops, I just banged the mic. I got so excited here. It's fantastic what they're doing with some of these new potato breeds. One is even being used in the fight against breast cancer. So
very cool.
Personal interest to me. Then we go to Cooking with Potatoes at La Miranda Restaurant. And if you didn't love potatoes before, after this segment, you will. We also visit the gardens of A Grace Hospice Care and find out, that gardens are just as important at the end of life mm-hmm. as they are at any other time. And then vertical gardening with Mark Dwyer, who I just mentioned again, some of the most awesome ways to grow plants up.
Yeah.
And then the third program is Problem Solvers. We're going to Sturgeon Bay to look at an absolutely impossible site that has been turned into a beautiful shade garden. We talk about the drought because mm-hmm. even though it's over, sort of, we're going to be seeing repercussions from that for years to come. So it gives us a chance to look ahead at what we can look at and maybe prevent problems. And again, Mark Dwyer talking about moss roses for mm-hmm. tough sites, which, boy, have they changed since I grew moss roses. And then an incredible garden in Mineral Point that was grown on an auto salvage yard.
Wow.
Go figure. And then the final program will be climate change for gardeners. Because our climate is changing. What do we do about it? How does it affect when we plant and what we plant? And what do we do about super weeds, which are already here?
Shelley Ryan, producer and host of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener, our guest on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of callers online to talk with our guest for today, Shelley Ryan, producer and host of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener. Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in. Appreciate it very much. And I think we'll just go right to the phones. Why not? Marion in Windsor, it is your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have actually two questions, possibly.
Okay.
Rhubarb, what type of soil, what pH does it like and do the best in? Is it more acid or more base? And the reason I ask that is I planted two plants kind of under a evergreen tree that is thinning, and we've cut the limbs up, and it seemed to really, really thrive in there. I have a big patch out in an open field that has been there for a lot of years, and it's still doing well, but I really think this new planting did much, much better in just 1 year. And then the other question is, what do I do of keeping voles away from my root crops? I have had some, like, straw mulching, and they seem to really like that, unfortunately, to keep, do it to keep the weeds down, of course, and to keep the moisture in, and it's easy to handle. Would wood chips be better for that? Would they dislike that more? And is there any kind of bait? Or I had heard chewing gum, put pieces of chewing gum out there, especially the juicy fruit. And I've done that. I do not know if it has improved.
I can pretty much tell you if it has and it hasn't. isn't that right, Shelley? That has been disproven.
Yeah.
Juicy fruit?
Yeah. Are you talking about in the winter or during the growing season, first of all?
Anytime, really.
Okay, yeah. Voles will tunnel under snow. They'll tunnel under, 3 feet of snow.
Yeah, I've seen evidence of that.
Well, in fact, if my Dalmatian had not passed away, she was the best thing I had against voles because she would tunnel under the snow and then snatch them up alive and run off with them and then do nasty things with them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, one of the things that I resorted to was to lay down hardware cloth or chicken wire, and then put my mulch down. The plants would grow up through it until spring or, even in the spring. And then the voles can tunnel under the straw or the mulch all they want. They can't get quite as easily. They're small. Okay. They can't get quite as easily to the plants.
Well, the only trouble is it's vegetable gardening that I'm concerned about, and I really can't deal with hardware cloth, I don't think, in there.
Well, and that's why a chicken wire might be better. But they're just, you could also try – fencing around the edge of the vegetable garden so that they can't get in. But they're just they are a problem. There are traps.
Specifically for them?
Pardon?
Specifically for them?
Well, for moles, and I believe they also do work on voles. I know there are baits and poisons as well. I organic garden, so I don't can't really tell you what they are.
Okay. I don't like to do those kind of things either.
Yeah.
Trapping, I'm not against. And I have done that. I've caught a few, but they don't catch easily.
No, they don't. In fact, I've had them in my living room. So,
oh dear!
a lot of good my cats are now. I miss the Dalmatian. But I think I think it's a good question to put up to Scott Craven too. But I know again traps baits are kind of exclusion.
Okay. Thank you for that. And what about the rhubarb?
Rhubarb, they're pretty tolerant as of soil acidity, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they I don't think they're real keen on high acid. I'm guessing they're doing so well because you put them into a new spot because they are very heavy feeders.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I agree with that.
So composted manure applied in the early spring, no matter where they are, is probably going to make them thrive.
I do try to feed them almost yearly or at least every other year.
Yeah, because they're very, very heavy feeders, and you moved them into a new spot, so new soil that hasn't been leached of all of its benefits is more likely than because the soil's acid.
Yeah, they'll take it down to five, I think. They'll take They'll grow in those conditions. So,
okay.
But you're absolutely right on the. They feed.
Yeah. In fact, I need to move mine because I can tell they're going into decline because they've been in the same spot for 27 years now.
Yeah, that's about mine, too. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with the voles.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jane in Madison, we'll turn to you now. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I have a purple plum tree with black knot disease.
Oh.
And you want...
I think I need to remove it.
Some trees are... Well, yeah, the native wild plum is very susceptible to it. A lot of the wild cherries are very susceptible to it. Ideally, you would want to get something that's not. Otherwise, you are constantly going to be treating it.
Okay.
So, you know, and I can't give you a cultivar off the top of my head, but it's not going to go away. You know, there are ways of treating it, of pruning it back. However, if you prune it, be sure that you are spraying your pruning shears with Lysol in between going to any other trees or plants in your yard because it spreads. But it's also out there everywhere. I mean, if you go along, like, for instance, the Military Ridge Bike Trail,
yeah,
you will see – you, in fact, that's how you can identify a cherry or a plum because you can go, oh, look, it has black knot. So you're not going to avoid it. It's all around us.
Okay.
So the best thing would be really to be looking at some of the cultivars that say resistant to black knot.
And if I take the tree down, how should I dispose of it? Does it matter?
Well, I wouldn't put it in your compost pile. I think I'd do a little research, but I believe you could probably burn it. Uh-huh. I would not. This is a case, again, talking about the previous caller who said, you know, we used bark chip or chips from, the village. Don't do that because then you're just going to spread it all over. If anything, you know, break it up, bag it. You might ask your village if they have a place for diseased shrubs and trees. I doubt they do.
Yeah, probably don't.
You know, so you're going to want to throw it away as garbage, unfortunately.
Well, mm-hmm. There you go. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wish we had better
advice,
Jane. But
it's all around. I mean, you can see it anywhere you drive by. By the way, though, if you get really nice, big, large pieces, it makes absolutely gorgeous furniture.
There you go.
So if you have some really thick branches with it, call me.
There you go, Jane. Thanks. Thanks a lot for calling. Darla in Ellsworth, it's your turn. Hi, Darla. Whoop. Well, we must have lost somewhere along the line. I think we lost Darla. So we will turn instead to Betty in Delavan. Betty, hi to you.
Hi. How come the seed companies tell you, to plant seeds and then thin them? Why not just put them in thin to start with?
Well, part of it is the germination. You know, depending on what plant you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Carrots is a good example.
Right.
The germination rate, depending on how dry our spring is, moisture content, temperatures, if you plant fewer, you may get even less than you planted.
Okay.
So they want you to plant a certain amount. And actually, especially nowadays, the thinnings, little baby carrots are great, for your salads raw munching. So that's why. I mean, the same thing with leeks or radishes. And now you don't have to overplant like I do and then forget to thin because that doesn't work either. But it's
what I found very well is to put radishes or put carrots and radishes in the same row.
Yeah.
And then the radishes keep the weeds down. And then by the time the radishes are done, the carrots are ready.
Exactly. I mean, and that's really excellent companion planting. But you still need to thin. And remember, those little babies are put them to use.
Yeah, good.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And by the way, you know, those seeds, some of those seeds are so small.
That's, I think, also.
Try and think about planting them one at a time.
Yeah. Do you really want to plant one carrot seed? You know? Well, and plus the fact, if you're dealing with seeds that you've been keeping for a couple of years, the germination rate drops.
Yeah.
So you may actually want to plant even higher than what they recommend.
Thomas in Manitowoc. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I've got a tip to handle those nasty voles that works really well for me because I grow a lot of grasses.
Okay.
And they like to eat the roots under those, as we well know in the springtime. A plant looks really good and you grab a hold of it and whoop, there's nothing there.
Yes, I've seen.
Yeah. So you look for the little holes that they make now in the snow.
The tunnel little, yeah.
Yeah. And then you take a mousetrap and you bait it with peanut butter, which they really love. But what really helps out is if you tie a piece of orange yarn onto each one, so that way when you go to look for your mousetraps, which they can easily get lost in the winter time with new snow, you always have that orange yarn tied onto your trap. And I use that. About a month ago, I put out 20 traps, and the next day I had 11 voles.
Wow.
It worked really good.
Excellent idea, especially with the orange yarn, kind of like the people that golf in the snow with orange golf balls.
Yeah.
You know, because I was in despair once we lost our Dalmatian. She was the best thing I'd ever had. I didn't even know they were hunters, and we've had problems ever since. Excellent idea.
Only drawback that you'll have is... they're not selective, and you will lose a few of your shrews, which are great to have, but they will,
yes,
they're after peanut butter. In fact, if you look at the holes that they make in the snow, if you avoid the real small holes, because those are usually shrews, and look for the larger holes.
Yeah. That's a very good idea.
We have to go out and study the holes in our snow.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tom. That was a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Appreciate it very much. Darla in Ellsworth. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I have, you know, that spotted winged fly. Are you familiar with that?
Spotted winged Drosophilas?
Yes. Yes. That fly got into my beautiful raspberry patch, and I had to throw gallons of raspberries away because I couldn't stop it. You know, it lays those miserable little eggs that develop into a very, very small white maggot.
Well, usually, I do know preventative is, you know, once they've developed, it's too late. Like, as you said, you have to throw them away. I know that Extension has a really nice handout on growing raspberries and raspberry production. And that would probably be the first thing I'd recommend.
I think I've already got it.
Otherwise, going to Phil Pelletieri. Because chemicals change so much, I always hate to recommend something when it might have been taken off the market, as many have been. Larry, I don't know.
Well, what about covering them? Can you cover?
Well, but then is it not one that needs to be fertilized and the bees need to get in there? So when do you cover?
Yeah, that's the problem.
The one thing I would make sure to do, you know, early spring, we're talking, you know, March, is to be sure to cut down all of the dead and old branches and get them out of there so that no eggs or anything like that is overwintering.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to have to probably – this is going to be a Phil Pelletieri question because you're probably going to want to go organic because you eat this, and you're going to want to make sure you get the timing just right. And I know through my website and through Larry's, you can connect to Extension and to Extension Horticulture and get the right answer.
Yep.
Because I don't want to lead you wrong on this and –
yep,
have you have to start all over again or make me eat them?
Yeah.
That can be so frustrating too. And I know timing is everything on you know, treating for something like this.
All right, I'll go on your website.
Yep, go ahead. Thank you very much for calling, Darla. Appreciate it. Oh, my goodness, we have open lines. We can get you on pretty quickly here. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, Shelley Ryan, producer and host of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener, our guest today. Always great to have her along. Thank you for listening in to this edition of Garden Talk. Again, you can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Can post a question or a comment and even a photo there. We had Christy with a rosemary plant she brought in from outside last fall. It has a white dusty substance on the newer leaves and seems to be growing fine. She's wondering if you could tell her what it is and if it's something not so good. If it's washed off, can she still use the rosemary in the cooking?
Well, I'm looking at the picture through a window because with Larry having a cold, we're in separate rooms. I know that rosemary is very susceptible to things like spider mites and white fly, and I'm guessing that it might be either one of those. I also know because it's kind of an a Mediterranean plant. It suffers worse in our dry winters, so it's probably stressed. Probably what I would do is spray it with a safer soap, insecticidal soap, and you may have to do it once every 2 weeks for a couple times because it looks like it's one of those things from a distance. And once you've done that, you know, rinse it off real well, and that's what's so nice about insecticidal soaps. They're very, very safe. The lower leaves you can probably eat, but I would wash anything you eat really well just because and you don't want to eat white fly or aphids or anything like that. But it's hard. It'll survive over the winter, but it always is at stress. So once you've dealt with the insects, I actually recommend once a month misting it with just water and then putting a bag over it for a couple days because you're kind of trying to replicate Mediterranean climate, which is very moist.
Yes.
So you can actually lessen its stress and help it fight back against whatever critter is chomping on it. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I think it did. Thank you very much for that question. And Lindsay also sent us a question on Facebook. She said, we have fruit trees, pears, peaches, apples, and we're wondering when is the best time to prune, as well as some basic rules for pruning. We've inherited these trees and would really like to get a hold on how to maintain them properly. Well, here we are, right in about the right time of the year for pruning, aren't we?
Hey, what else can you do? I mean, February, March are my favorite times to prune. Plus, the fact if the snow is really deep, you don't have to get a ladder out because you're standing right up there at the top of the tree. There's also a couple very good extension handouts on not only how to renovate a tree that hasn't been pruned in a long time, but just regular maintenance on a tree. The first three rules I know, and I learned these from Jim Schrader many years ago, prune any crossing branches. So anything that's rubbing against each other or crossing in the middle, prune any branches that are growing straight up or straight down. Those are your first three steps. But if these are trees that haven't been pruned in a while that you inherited, again, go to our website, WPT.org, or Larry's, and connect with Extension. They have a couple fabulous handouts with graphics, pictures even.
Yeah, pictures.
Yeah, especially because with a tree that's old or hasn't been used pruned in a while, you want to make sure that you only prune one-third of it so that you're not putting it into stress.
Yeah.
And this get it now because, what else, what other gardening are you going to do? This is a great time of year to get out and do something.
Yeah. And, you can see your progress. I like work like that. When you're done, you can say, hey,
look what I did.
Actually accomplished something here. I got a big pile of branches.
And I always remember Jim Schrader's advice was a fruit tree is well pruned when you can throw a cat through it. And it took me a long time to figure that one out. I think what he means is a widespread screaming cat, because most cats do not like to be thrown, and I would not throw my cat, my poor little cat. But I see what his point is that there needs to be openings through there and room for air to go through. So maybe just throw my son on bad days. He's 16. Forget it. Won't work.
Oh, man. Nikita in Green Bay has a question for you there. Let's go there. Hi, Nikita.
Hi. My question was about, like, first-time gardening. My husband and I just bought our first home, and neither of us have, I guess, a green thumb. And we're interested in planting some type of vegetable, really anything to start, even if we could just do one or two things. We're just trying to figure out, like, where's the best place to start, I guess, as far as, like, resources, information, knowing how to do it right.
Okay, easy question to answer. First of all, if you go to my website, go to WPT.org, and then look up the Wisconsin Gardener,
mm-hmm.
we have all of our shows back to 1992.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so maybe a little too many resources. However, one of the shows we did last year, inspired by my sister, she's going to get me for that one, was called How to Cure a Brown Thumb. So it really talked basics, you know, how to buy a plant that will live, you know, how to just basic gardening information. But you can browse through all of those segments. There are vegetable segments, compost segments, weeding segments. It's a fantastic resource, and you can sit down and watch them. But the other book that I still recommend and still think so highly of is Square Foot Gardening. And number one, it prevents you from overdoing it, which I know from experience is really dumb, because then you overextend yourself and then you can't take care of any of it and then you get frustrated and depressed.
Right.
So I highly recommend Square Foot Gardening. It starts you out small. It gives you a chance to understand what you're doing. You are successful. So then you go back and you do some more. So the book is still available. I think it's a gold mine.
And there's also, just online, if you go to the Learning Store, University of Wisconsin Extension Learning Store, it's the bulletin, it's all of the bulletins and all the information from University Extension you're going to find there, and you can go online, and I know there's some good ones for starting basic gardening.
Yeah, basic vegetable gardening.
Flower gardening, too. And
yeah.
So I'd really, and you can either order them or you can just look at them online or copy them off online,
yeah.
too.
Okay.
So that's the University UW Extension Learning Store.
Right. And that's where all these bulletins we've been talking about are, too.
Yep.
But
okay.
I can't say enough about Square Foot Gardening.
It
kept me in control. Even though I had an acre, it stopped me from totally losing it. Well, at least for the first year.
I tried to grow a basil plant inside my house, like on the windowsill, and
Oops.
It died after like a month. And I'm like, I can't do this.
Well, okay, see, and there's your first mistake. Basil's probably one of the, well,
the
not
hardest.
One of, basil is the hardest herb to grow indoors that there is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There are so many others that you could have done successfully. I've got years of experience. I don't even bother. And when I see people growing or selling it, you know, at this time of year, I just chuckle and walk away. Basil is the biggest wimp out there. It needs, 70 degree weather. The soil needs to be probably 65 or 70. Forget it. So it's not your fault.
It's good to know that now.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, Nikita.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Shelley Ryan, producer and host of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener. Our guest, I'm Larry Mueller, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here for this edition of Garden Talk. We visit with Shelley Ryan, producer and host of Wisconsin Public TV's The Wisconsin Gardener. Great to have her along. Thank you so much for listening in today, and look forward to hearing what your questions or comments for her. She started the Wisconsin Gardener in 1992. And here we are 20 years later, Shell.
21.
21. Man, who's counting?
I know. Whose math is worse here?
Well, it's been a great run for you, and this season coming up is your final season.
Yeah, it's been a really rough decision to make. This has been probably the best fun job any human being could ask for, but a very difficult decision I've had to make. Back in 2011, when I again tripped and fell, an MRI on my dislocated shoulder found that my breast cancer had come back to my bones, bone only, which is a good thing, which means I could be around for 5 years or 20. And personally, I'm aiming for 20.
Good.
But this last season in particular, some of the medications that we were trying on me just laid me flat.
Yeah.
And if we could have found a way, I think, for me to just host the show and let somebody else do all the other work,
yeah,
I wouldn't be making this decision. I'm hoping that there will be a way to maybe continue, you know, causing trouble with the Wisconsin Gardener. But retirement was the only way I could get the flexibility.
Yeah,
to,
that you need.
Yeah, for my health, you know, because it's going to vary. I feel great right now, ironically. Maybe it was work. but I'm really going to miss doing this on a day-to-day basis. But we still have, you know, as you said, it's my last season.
Yeah, we still got the whole season.
Yeah, we got four shows coming up at this point. We think they're going to air in May. And we've got the Garden Expo ahead of us, and you and I are going to be there on Saturday causing trouble.
Yeah, that's going to be
and 10:15, Larry, not 11.
I know I have to be at my booth at 9, so I'm
well. Then I'll know where to find you.
It's 10 o'clock. Somebody can say, you know, you got to go talk to Shelley.
And remember the crowds. And I do have, I did find the old blooper tape originally made with Jim Schrader.
Oh my gosh!
And I thought if you wanted to, we could show that.
That sounds like a plan.
It's about 20 years old. And then I do have the cleaned up version of the tape they showed at my retirement party, if we want to show that, which Larry emceed beautifully, by the way.
It is a cleaned up version?
Yes. The streaker has been fixed. And I did not make this, guys. Okay, I did not make this tape. Whoever decided to put that in there must be one of my coworkers.
Well, we're going to have a good time tomorrow.
It's
going to be a lot of fun.
Is that tomorrow already? Today's Friday. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I have to be at the expo tonight, don't I? Maybe we should quick run off the hours and prices?
Yeah. You know, we have people have been calling saying, how much are the tickets?
Okay. Well, here, I got them in front of me since I can't remember. Advance tickets, one day are $7. A one-day ticket at the door is $8. Two-day advance is $11. At the door, $12. A three-day, which is, you know, a real good deal because you can then shop and listen to the lectures, is $16 and at the door, $17.
Yeah.
And the hours, I finally read since I had those wrong too. Friday is 3 to 9. Saturday is 9 to 6. Sunday, 10 to 4.
There it is.
So I have their accurate information finally.
And as usual for you and for me, we have a kind of a big double room. They've got us in a nice big one.
That's because we're so popular, Larry.
Well, you are popular anyway.
Oh, I know. I think it's teamwork here.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun, and that's at 10 o'clock. 10:15 we start, but I'd say get there at 10.
Yeah, well, in fact, my family's coming and keeps saying, save me seats, and I think, but my family's never on time.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to save seats. Yeah, I know my wife and daughter, too.
Are they coming?
Well, I'm hoping they're coming, yeah.
Well, then we'll save some front row seats. Let's just save the whole front row.
We'll try and do that. Okay. Well, you know what? Bill in Greendale's been waiting.
Patiently.
Patiently. When are those guys going to quit talking so I can talk? Well, here he is. Bill, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, how are you? And thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hearing you talk is always very appreciated. Don't you worry about that.
Thank you.
I have an overgrown forsythia. It probably hasn't been trimmed in 8-10 years. And what I would like to do, I'm not going to save flowers or, you know, branches this year, for sure. How far back can I trim that?
Okay.
And is it a good time to do it now?
Well, especially since you're not worrying about the flowers. Right now, again, is my favorite time because you don't have to deal with insects or diseases. Luckily, they're all dead, except the bugs in my house. We won't go into that. You want to prune the oldest, thickest, ugliest branches back to the ground. Now, since we got deep snow, I would actually recommend, well, where are you? Greendale? Yes. Brush the snow away as much as you can so that you can cut as close to the ground as you can.
All right.
Now, since it hasn't been pruned in about 8 years, don't get carried away. Take it from somebody who has. Make sure you're only pruning about 1/3.
Okay, about a third.
Yeah, because it's going to look spindly this year. You know, you're going to look at it and go, what did she tell me? It's going to need some time to recover because it hasn't been pruned in a while. And then from here on in, what you're going to want to do is prune the branches that have flowered.
Okay.
You know, and that's pretty easy to tell as you get used to, you know, looking at it and watching it. But this year, since it's had, you're not going to have flowers really to say, but it needs it.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And we've had several people call, and I don't know why I didn't think about this earlier, going back to the rosemary that was... had the white stuff on it.
Well, since I couldn't see the picture since I'm in another room, Larry.
I should have thought of powdery mildew.
And that easily, that also can be, just a strong spray.
Yeah.
Can help get rid of that too.
And if it is powdery mildew, I think it's okay to, you know, you clean it, wash it off, you can go ahead
sure.
and eat it.
Well, and actually, because it can spread because it's a fungus, you can cut off those offending branches. And rosemary is one of those plants that doesn't mind being pruned at all.
No, that's a very, very good point. Carol in Hillsdale, hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I started out with one question, but I got two now. But
okay.
My first question was on echinacea seeds. Is it too late to start them? It says start them in January. I don't have my seeds yet. I need to send for them, and I've been teetering back and forth.
Are they coming to you from, like, a prairie source?
No. Actually, it's Jung. I'm looking at the Jung seed catalog.
So they won't have been cold stratified at all?
No. I don't know. That means I should put them in the fridge when I get them?
Yes. Yeah, in working with Neil DeBole, as he says, the easiest thing is to throw them on the ground in the fall. But at this point, you would have to cold stratify them. You're trying to duplicate fall and winter conditions. So you would put them in soil and put them in the fridge.
For how long?
That's the problem because it's February already. I think what I would recommend is see if you can look it up online.
Okay.
Because it might be too late.
Okay, fine. Maybe I'll just get some potted plants.
Well, frankly, unless you're more patient than I am, if you want more immediate gratification, they're a very hardy plant, and once you've got them in the ground, they'll probably bloom this year if you've got big, nice, big, healthy plants.
Okay. The other question was on pruning trees, and I didn't quite catch all of what you were talking about before. We'll get a nice tree, like, from the nursery, and after the first or second year, then it's like it's growing straight up, and then you have these nice branches that started out when you got it off to the side. Can you cut off those straight up? You know, is it going to affect the whole shape of it, or you can trim them all off?
Well, yeah. What kind of tree are you talking about?
Maple, red maple.
Okay, generally what you want is a strong central leader.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to prune that main one going straight up. Some of the lower branches coming out at the side, especially as it gets bigger, if they're in the way of, you know, mowing or walking, those are the ones you may want to prune off. And anything that's crossing or rubbing mm-hmm. against each other. But you kind of want to leave that straight up branch. That's going to be the main leader of your tree.
Well, that's what I always understood, too, but it seems there's always like three or four that matter.
Then get
right up there.
Then, in fact, even tie a ribbon around the one that you decide, okay, this is my main leader, and you can prune the other ones.
Okay.
But you'd want one strong leader.
All righty.
One strong leader. That's exactly right. And one great strong leader is Shelley Ryan.
Oh, thanks.
Producer and host of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener, started back in 1992, 21 years on the air in a whole new season ahead. She's our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Gardening is such a great activity that so many of us enjoy it. It's always nice to have a friend to share it with. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Garden Talk. For many of us, one of the gardening great friends is Shelley Ryan. She is producer and host of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener Program. Started in 1992 as an audit. She earned Master Gardener status through the Dane County Horticulture Extension Service, and she's been with us all these years doing wonderful, wonderful programs. And so after all these years, she's coming to an end of her tenure as host of that program, but she's still here, and she still knows a whole heck of a lot about gardening, and she and I are going to have a lot of fun tomorrow at the Garden Expo. I know that for sure. You may have some questions for her. I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234. And Shelley, we have got, let me see, let me turn your microphone, there we go. We have 10 pairs of tickets for Garden Expo to give away. They are one-day tickets, and they'll be at the Will Call window. So you can just go show up at the window, and you can get those tickets. And so this is a little contest here. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email at talk@wpr.org to be entered in this drawing, and we'll give you till 12. You got about 6 minutes. Give you to 12:15. To enter, and then Judith will do a random drawing, and there's actually a way to do that. So either by phone, 1-800-642-1234. A couple people online already at 1-800-642-1234. You get your name entered. We'll give you 6 minutes or so to get that done, and then Judith will announce the results.
Oh, cool.
We get in for we don't have to pay. We get in for free.
Yeah, but Larry, we're working.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
Okay, it's not really work, but
it's a lot of fun.
It's like a great family reunion of gardeners. You know, I mean,
and you see a lot of the same people every year.
Oh, not only the guests from my show, but from the exhibitors. You know, people like, well, you and I both see Jeff Epping, Mark Dwyer, Phil Pelletieri, Brian Huddleston.
All those
people
characters
that have worked, we've worked together with for 21 years. But a lot of the viewers come back. They've become my friends.
Yep.
So it's I think it is a big family reunion of all of us crazy gardeners.
And, of course, you'll be at that Wisconsin Garden. You've got a great exhibit always.
Yeah, we've got wonderful people that have put together a beautiful display and a beautiful exhibit, and I get a chair.
And we've got a radio. Wisconsin Public Radio has a nice double-wide one this year, and we're even going to do a little punting contest. I said
a
I'd bring
punting contest.
Putting.
Putting. Oh boy.
I've got a putter that looks like a banana. I've got a banana on my banana putter. I've got to remember to bring that. I'm trying to win.
Let me know when that happens. I want to see this.
Fabulous prizes if you can put it in the hole.
Oh boy, can I? That's right. And see, that's the only unfun part. Neither of us can compete in any of this stuff. And neither of us have time to go to the seminars. I mean, one of these years we're going to have to wear masks.
There you go. Well, Chris in Green Bay has a question. So let's turn to Chris. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a very nice stand of lilacs on the side of my property. They are I'd say well overgrown. The main branches that are still standing upright are probably 12 plus feet long. And what's happening is they still bloom every year. And,
yep, but they're blooming up at the top.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're also cracking under the weight of snow, and it doesn't even take a lot of snow. There's it looks like a white or gray kind of a coating fungus or whatnot.
Powdery mildew.
Yeah. And then so what I'd like to do is, you know, pull a Paul Bunyan and just take them all down. I'd like to hopefully save them, but can I start anew?
Yes.
Okay.
You're on the right track. Most people are afraid to do that, but it sounds like you're not. So kudos to you for being brave. The best thing to do is to start over. Cut them down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then
now the only option that I really have would, because some of these stalks are quite thick, or trunks are quite thick. Would a sawzall be an okay method, or do I need something much cleaner?
You might find, having pruned lilacs many times, you might find a chainsaw is better.
Okay.
I swear that I have never sawed through harder wood in my life.
That stuff is hard.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't make furniture out of it, or boats or something. If you've a sawzall, sure, a chainsaw would be, you know, probably a better cut. You're going to be doing a lot of cutting.
And the biggest pieces aren't Shelly, is that what you recommend?
Well, and it sounds like if these are all 12 feet tall, I mean...
Cut them back.
Cut them all. I mean, and that's what Ed Hasselkus would tell you, and a lot of people weep when he says it. But then what you can do as they start to come up is start being selective and picking the young green ones and trying to kind of clear it out so that there's more space, because a powdery mildew is because they were all crowded. So you may try to keep, you know, half of them down and let the other half get to a reasonable height, about 6 feet. And you're going to always be fighting that, because they're going to want to do what they just did. So every year you're going to be pruning a little bit, but not as drastic as this.
So take the big trunks and then all the little suckers out to cut all those down as well.
Especially the big ones. I mean, if you want to leave some of the little ones, go ahead. But the big ones have got to come down.
Yep. Okay, excellent. This is a good time of year to do it.
Oh, this is perfect. I mean, you're going to lose blooms, but because they're so high, you know, what good are they anyhow?
Yep.
Yes.
And in a year, you know, some of the young ones that you leave behind, those spindly little things, you'll have blooms possibly next spring.
Yep.
Just be brave.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot for
calling.
And then
come and do mine, please.
Yeah, you need it. You need a chainsaw.
Oh, they're just such a pain.
Kathy emailed, on the coneflower seeds from Jung's, she gets them from Jung's every year. She said, you can start them in February, March with no problems.
Oh, okay.
She says, no need to cold stratify. She said, I've done it several years in a row with great success. So they probably have already taken care of it some in one way or another through.
Okay, good. Good. They're more patient than me. I want my flowers quickly.
Eric in Hayward. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I would like to plant some apple trees, but where I live, there's a lot of bears.
Oh, dear.
Is there any apple trees that the bears won't bother or will bother less?
No. I mean, because if the bears don't like them, then you probably wouldn't either.
Well, actually, I want them to attract the deer so I can see the deer. But so I really don't care if I can eat them. You know?
I mean, bears are pretty. First of all, they're darn smart. I can't think of, if they're hungry, they're gonna outwit the deer. The only thing is, deer, except bears climb too. I don't know, Larry. Do you have any ideas on that one? That bears won't like, but that he can use to attract deer.
No, I think, you know, if you're trying to keep the bears from the trees, I mean, you just have to fence them off until they're bigger.
And then the deer can't get to them if they're fenced off either.
No, but I mean, you want to get them going.
Yeah. Is that part of the problem? You're trying to get the young trees to mature?
Well, yeah, buddy. Yeah, but even when they get bigger, I mean, the bears can harm them, you know, break
right.
the trees off.
Right.
I was just wondering if there was some apple that they didn't like, maybe, you know.
That's one of the more unique questions I think I've ever had. You might try to talk to, you know, the wildlife experts, or try crab apples or something, but I'm not sure how excited the deer would be about them either.
Right. That's the trouble. If the deer like them, the bear
they're
are going
to like them too, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot
Good
for calling.
Good luck with that one.
And, by the way, let's go back and talk a little bit about Garden Expo again. As long as Judah's probably soon enough going to have the winners. But Garden Expo is at the Expo grounds in Madison.
Alliant Energy Center.
Alliant Energy Center grounds. Go ahead and talk about it a little bit.
Okay. It's the exhibition hall at the Alliant Energy Center Friday, 3 to 9 p.m. That's today. I guess I better get there after I'm done talking to you, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, 9 to 6, Sunday, 10 to 4. Advance tickets one day are $7, 2 day, $11, and 3 day, $16. If you buy any of those at the door, they're a dollar more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can get a really good deal by buying advance tickets. What I recommend, there's seminars every day.
Every day.
You do your shopping one day and then spend Saturday or Sunday at the seminars. We've got everybody from Brian Huddleston to Mark Dwyer from Rotary Gardens, Ed Lyon from Allen Centennial Gardens, Jeff Epping, a fantastic speaker, one of my favorite people from Olbrich Gardens will be talking. And then there's this great presentation by Larry Mueller and myself, and that'll be Saturday at 10:15.
We're going to have fun.
We keep reminding Larry that because he thought it was at 11. So if I'm up on the stage by myself, everybody look for Larry. You know, just all sorts of things happening. Demos, workshops. There's, of course, the famous raffle, which always brings a lot of people to the Wisconsin Public Television booth. And Larry's going to be doing something with a banana putter, which I'm sure we don't want to miss.
9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. There you go. Parking is not included in your ticket. That one is one thing to know. Saturday in particular, I would get there early because I know that we've actually had traffic back up on the Beltline.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And since I have to be at the booth at 9, I'm gonna go early.
Well, and I actually have to be there at 8 o'clock because I'm gonna be on WIBA from 8 till 9. So I have to be there earlier.
Earlier yet. There we go. Oh, boy. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's such a wonderful place to be this time of the year.
Oh,
you know, the smell of flowers and
the colors.
The colors.
Look outside. What do you see? White.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are flowers, there's lawn ornaments, there's garden art,
You will be rejuvenated.
Yes, yes. and I got to get there early because I got to get to the mushroom guy because I want to buy another mushroom kit.
Ah.
And so far, it's the only thing I've been told I'm allowed to get. Luckily, my husband is not listening.
Oh, well, Avia Minona has a comment. Let's go to her. She's been waiting a while. Amy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This last year was very hard on our yard, and we have some beautiful old growth trees. And I noticed as the leaves were falling, these black spots, and I think it was black leaf spot fungus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I had looked up. Now, is that going to be something that's going to come back again this year?
It very well might. It's generally considered cosmetic.
Okay.
And this year was, you know, this year it was
kind
off the charts.
Yeah.
the biggest trick to watch for is not that so much, is really because of the drought, all of our trees are still stressed. And even with the snowfall, the last time I checked, we were not out of drought levels yet. So make sure your trees, especially the big ones, I mean, not just the little ones, are getting a good a good amount of water per week. You know, with a normal small-sized tree, we'd say an inch of water per week. But look out at the whole tree canopy and make sure that that gets getting watered. And if you have to put a sprinkler up and then measure it, throughout the root zone, do that because you want that whole area to be covered well.
Okay, well, wonderful. And one other quick question. We also, unfortunately, we have a neighbor with beautiful overgrown flower beds, and I think we got a mosaic virus into our yard. The leaves kind of yellowed, and the veins stood out really pronounced. Ew. The leaves kind of curled,
yep.
Specifically hitting our tomatoes and melons and cucumbers. Is that something? We didn't compost anything, and we pulled up a lot.
Good.
Even my lime trees had to be jettisoned. But do I need to worry about any of that coming back?
How close are you to your neighbor?
Positionally, we're quite close, and they're open to us, cleaning out the beds. I did ask her if I could thin out some of the hostas that have, 6 or 7 years growth of dead leaves.
Okay.
Kind of matted under there.
No.
Okay. Well, that helps greatly. The other thing is to make sure you're doing some really good crop rotation this year. You're already getting rid of all the debris that might have it in there because the virus can be around for years. If you can plant your tomatoes and your vegetable crops in a completely different area.
Okay.
And if you have a small yard, and I know that's which makes it impossible for some people, get a couple large containers just to give your soil a break. Whiskey barrels make great tomato planters.
That's a good idea. Yeah, Mark, we took all of our mulch out.
Good, good.
Scraped it to the bottom, but our concern was just that our garden's only about 20 by 40.
Yeah.
So we didn't really know how far we could move them.
Well, perhaps this is, with the drought again, everything was under such stress. It's really hard to say, was it your neighbor's fault? Was it the fact that we had the worst drought since 1956? 100-degree temperatures. I lost plants that were getting watered daily because I was too dumb to think, gee, why don't you take your fuchsias off the porch and put them in your house, silly? Because some plants just couldn't handle it. Now, tomatoes love the heat, but they were still stressed because of the drought.
Yeah.
This might be the year to give that area, to plant that area with a cover crop.
Okay.
And let the soil get rejuvenated, give it a rest. And, get a couple whiskey barrels, even if you're putting them on your driveway. You'd be amazed how much you can grow in 2 or 3 whiskey barrels. And then you're using a really good high-quality potting soil. And
what we did notice is I didn't get any of it moving into the cabbages or beets, radishes, anything like that. Are they more resistant?
Each virus, each fungal disease is specific to a specific group of plants.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, if you have something that's infecting potatoes, tomatoes, that's one group of plants. They're not going to affect cabbages.
Okay.
So, yeah,
well,
by rotating, that helps a great deal, too.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call very much. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you as we visit today with Shelley Ryan, host of the Wisconsin Gardener, 21 years.
Oh, you're making me feel old, Larry. The only good news is you've been here longer.
I've been here a lot longer. Do you have a favorite memory or two from some of those gardens you visited?
There's so many favorite memories,
yeah.
But I would have to say favorite people.
Yeah.
When I went up to Mayflower Greenhouse in the Green Bay area and met Jan Vos,
yeah.
He and I became buddies within seconds.
Yeah.
And if he had lived, we would be lifelong friends.
Yeah.
He introduced me to Lisa Janson, who has become a lifelong friend and has helped me so much through my breast cancer illness.
Yeah.
And has done crazy things like taking me swimming with a camel. And you don't know how healing that is. What does that have to do with gardening? I don't know, but I did manage to get the camel on one of my shows.
Well, you know, camel manure would probably be...
Well, I went at it from a different angle. She was growing the most incredible lotuses I've ever seen. Huh. Lotuses come from Egypt.
Oh.
Camels come from Egypt.
Oh.
So we just kind of combined the two, and it was an absolutely hysterical show. You saw it in the blooper tape at the retirement party, the camel bit me. And I fell in love with that thing. I fell in love with both of them. They're just, she's become one of my dearest friends. It's people. It's people that make the gardens, and that's will be all my fondest memories.
We have winners. Remember,
ooh,
we had
right.
almost 10 pairs of tickets. So I'm giving the names here. We've got Karen Z. I'm not sure where Karen Z is from, but there's probably not many Karen Z's who actually applied. Beth A. in Wanakee. Carrie, Ellen W., and I'm sure that is the only Carrie, Ellen W. in Wausau, Daniel H. in Phillips, Dawn W. in St. Charles, Minnesota.
Wow.
Cool. Richard A. in Hartford, Bonnie J. in Mount Horeb, Mary Lou in Monroe, and Diane K. So those are the winners, and you can just... show up at the will call booth and give your name, and they will have that information, and they will hand over your pair of tickets.
You'll be all set.
That is very cool. Do you use wood ash in a garden? Charles in Ingleside, Illinois, wondered about using wood ash for a garden. Charles, do you have a lot of it?
A whole lot of it. Burn some good, clean wood, good, clean ground. I have 5-gallon buckets, a whole bunch of it.
Oh.
I don't know what your soil is like there. Is it very acidic or alkaline?
Pardon?
Is your soil very acidic or alkaline?
Well, it's neutral.
Pretty neutral.
Then really, you probably don't need it. I used to sprinkle a little bit when I planted carrot seeds. Other than that, we really don't need it.
So, if you were thinking about, you can find a different place to put the wood ash. I think than probably
It's great on slippery driveways.
Yeah, Shelley, it's always a pleasure. I will see you in the morning.
Yeah.
We'll,
10:15, Larry.
That's
do
right.
Do I like to tease Larry? No.
Shelley Ryan, our guest, producer and host of The Wisconsin Gardener. Always great to have her along, and always great to have you listening in. I thank you so much for listening in. Come tomorrow and see Shelley and me at the Garden Expo. Love to see you.